Our usual book mole, Larry Bolden, is taking a break, and I am stepping in to fill his big shoes with a review of the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Geraldine Brooks called March. It is set before and during the Civil War. Mr. March, a protagonist who tells his own tale, is a self-righteous man with clear convictions. He's a man of ideas, a transcendentalist who has dreams of living in community where men and women thrive together in harmony with each other and with nature. March, a staunch abolitionist, has contempt for those who fail to act on their convictions. Concord, March says of his own hometown, quote, remained a forest of wagging fingers whose citizens were content to condemn, yet unprepared to do anything material against the system that provided their mills with cotton. March's moral commitment to action will prove to be his undoing. Fans of Little Women by Louisa May Alcott will quickly realize that the character March is the missing father of the four fictional girls. He is loosely based on Bronson Alcott, the father of Louisa May. The story unfolds over the horrific year of March's service, first as chaplain and later as teacher in the Union Army. Woven into the story are flashbacks of March's pre-war years as a man who has made and lost a fortune, with cameo appearances by Nathaniel Hawthorne, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Henry David Thoreau, and John Brown, all of whom make up March's intellectual milieu. Brown's ill-fated rebellion plant the first seeds of doubt in March's mind. He's confounded by Brown's resort to violence, asking, quote, was ever a course of action more reckless and savage? Was ever one so justifiable and so self-sacrificing? As chaplain in the Union Army, March re-encounters the slave woman, Grace, whom he'd first met years earlier as a callow peddler wandering the South. Grace, a house servant and daughter of the white master, is a woman of considerable refinement, intelligence, beauty, and wisdom, with whom March is besotted, despite being married and devoted to his firebrand wife. Grace, as an enslaved black person, makes choices that befuddle and outrage March. She responds to him, quote, if you live with your head in the lion's mouth, it's best to stroke it some. Due to his own indiscretion, March is reposted from the battle lines to a Union-held southern plantation, where supposedly it will be proven that cotton could be profitably grown by so-called free black labor. The blacks here, as it turns out, are treated scant better than when they were enslaved. It is here that March comes face to face with the terrible contradictions and consequences of his convictions. The narrative is beautifully rendered, largely in March's voice, with carefully researched and fascinating period details. It's a narrative as well that plays constantly with the tension between beliefs and actions. It's a story about war in all of its savagery and contradictions and corruption on both sides. It's a story about the brutal ironies of slavery, the mechanisms by which it was enforced, and the narratives that were told to justify it. It's a portrait of a marriage which staggers under the weight of moral failings and truths deliberately withheld. It's an exploration of the myriad ways that women are made to suffer through armed conflict perpetrated by men. But the most profound story for me is that of the man, March, who learns through circumstances in which there are no good choices that he is not the man he aspired to be. In his letters back to his beloved wife, he evades the truth of both the depravity he has witnessed and his weaknesses in the face of it, Those letters serve as much to deceive himself as to deceive her. In the end, March has no way back to the moral certainty he once possessed. He confesses to his wife, Marmee, "I valued my principles more than I valued their lives, and the outcome is they are slaves again, or dead." She replies that he is not God and that the outcome is not the point. "Then what, pray, is the point?" he cries. "The point," Marmee says, "is the effort to believe and not to act, or to act in a way that every fiber of your soul held was wrong. That is what would have been reprehensible. But that effort is also what led to disastrous consequences for the very people March wanted to save." Geraldine Brooks offers no answer to this conundrum. Grace, whose own choices confounded this reader, is perhaps a character too noble to be believed. But she offers this advice to March, the man who now despises himself. She says, "You'll have to stop wallowing in this notion that you are somehow at fault in all the ill things that have happened this year. War is full of misfortune. Cannot you see? It is folly to let this self-flagellation shape your future." But March, as Grace recognizes, is a man who's been dipped in a river of fire and is no longer the man he once was. This is a story that resonates in our world today, if not with the totality of human history. It is dark and bleak, yet admits a sliver of hope in the end. This is Book Mole, Patricia Kullberg, for the Old Mole Variety Hour, with a review of March, a novel by Geraldine Brooks.